This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Let's check our schedules and talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe P. Zapia. With me today is Andrew Erickson, Mr. Big Pod Energy himself. And speaking of energy, I just made Derek Brown laugh so hard that Monster Energy drink just went in his nose. So the caffeine is flowing through D-Bro, the king of bros. And today, it's the schedule breakdown. In case you missed it, the schedule came out yesterday. I don't know if anybody's talking about it, but it did. And there's a lot, of course, we can talk about, a lot we can glean from it. Some of it will be right. Some of it will be wrong. The schedule in the NFL is a living, breathing organism. A few injuries here and there can change the complexities of that schedule for many different teams in a split second. But it's fun to go through. It's fun to talk about some of the games we want to see, some of the players we think the schedule might favor early and late. And of course, give you all the information we possibly can, because that's what we do here at Fantasy Pros. I also want to tell you about our giveaway over at Fantasy Pros. If you head over to fantasypros.com/contest, you can win a Deebo Samuel autographed helmet thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. All you got to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Click that little bell for notifications, screenshot your subscription, and send it over to fantasypros.com/contest, and that Deebo Samuel helmet can be yours. And it's best ball season. That's right, boys and girls. And we have got the best ball draft kit for you, the one that you need at fantasypros.com/best ball. That's the place to go for all the articles, the strategies, the roster construction advice, the ADP, the rankings. I mean, if you are playing best ball seriously, and I know you are, you need to go over to Fantasy Pros. And of course, if you're a premium subscriber of Fantasy Pros, you'll have more access to that best ball draft kit. So once again, go to fantasypros.com/best ball to get that best ball draft kit today. We get you prepared. And speaking of prepared, Andrew Erickson, I know you've got big events. You've got a birthday cake to pick up after the show. So I can only assume that this is either an ice cream cake or a specialty sort of made cake, a lot of fondant going on. What's going on with this birthday cake situation?
It's a bundt cake is the type of birthday cake it is. Bundt cake. And it's for my fiance, and that's why I can't miss it, or else I will be dead tomorrow. So I need to make sure that I have the bundt cake. I need to
usually
have
a bundt cake
is like for
made
the birthday
at home,
party.
Though. A bundt cake is kind of simple. I was expecting a fancy sort of thing there. I was a little let down by the bundt cake. D-Bro, how is the nasal cavity, number one? And number two, how jacked up right now are you on caffeine now that it's gone straight to your brain?
Dude, we turned the mics on right before we go live. I suck energy drink, like, into my soul. I couldn't even breathe for like a good like 30 seconds or a minute. We're about to go live and I turn like five shades of red and purple and can't breathe. And Erickson's over here talking about his bunk cake. I'm like, dude, I may be dying from suffocating from energy drinks here. So, I mean, you know, everybody's got their own issues and stuff. But yes, we need to get Erickson off of the show on time. He's got to pick up pastries and such. Because that look, this, we don't want the first step like you talked about, Joe, way back when. When he was stuck in Aruba, you don't want the first step to being on the waiver wire of life. So we got to make sure the man gets the cake, okay?
Speaking of pastries, Napoleons are the 1-1 of pastries, in my opinion. Don't at me. Or at me. I don't care. If you got a different opinion about it, go ahead. At Joe Pizza via 17. I love the don't at me. Like, no, you can at me all day long. Go for it. All right, let's start here with the winners and losers. It's the thing that we love to talk about most here. The teams that, at least from a perception standpoint, seem to have come out squeaky clean here from what the schedule release was. And there were some fantastic matchups. I mean, some of these Sunday night football games are amazing. We've got some phenomenal 4 o'clock games going on because of the Western Division that we talk so much about in the AFC. But let's start with you, Andrew, and tell me from your standpoint, who were the one or two teams that you felt like came out, at least theoretically, as winners from this schedule release that happened yesterday?
For me, it's the Eagles. I think that when you look at their schedule, so the third easiest schedule to open the season through the first 4 weeks, second easiest schedule overall, because you look at the NFC East and it's horrible between the Cowboys, Washington, and the Giants. So it's something that I'm looking at where I have Jalen Hurts ranked, and I just continue to keep pushing him up the board. Like, I don't know how he's not a top five quarterback across the board. Like, his schedule is so easy. He has the mobile upside. He has AJ Brown. Like, there's no reason to not continue to just keep pushing him up the rankings. So you look at the Eagles' first couple matchups: Lions, Vikings, Commanders, Jaguars, Cardinals. Like, that's the first 6 weeks for, or first 5 weeks for Jalen Hurts. Like, how is he not a quarterback one in all those games? You know, something that he's done. You look at his starts over the past two seasons, 85% of his games, Jalen Hurts has finished as a top 12 quarterback. 85%. That's higher than Tua's completion percentage. Jalen Hurts, quarterback one.
All right. So you got the Eagles. Give me another team that you feel like benefits from the schedule, at least in theory, as we're looking at it.
I like the Denver Broncos, and it's not just because Russell Wilson gets to take on the Seahawks in week one, which should be a lot of fun. It's after the fact. He's playing a bunch of defenses and suspect secondary, San Francisco, Atlanta, the Lions. So I know that I'm really high on Cortland Sutton, and the fact of the matter is when Russell Wilson has a really great schedule to start the season, I think that's really good for Cortland Sutton. And then you look at the playoff schedule for the Denver Broncos. I know it's going a little bit ahead of, but you got the Chiefs,
just a tad,
the Rams, and the Cardinals. Just games that should profile as shootouts. So the Broncos across the board as a team that you're looking at, you know, the AFC West is obviously stacked up and down the board. I think the Broncos are kind of that boom bust team where if Russell Wilson does deliver, you know, what he's capable of doing, I think this team's going to make some noise. So the Eagles and Broncos for me are winners.
And it's interesting because the Broncos, I think a team with Russell Wilson that I think Russ has a little something to prove here. So a little softer schedule at the front can only build the confidence as they start to come together as a unit. And I think that's going to serve them well as they get into that later part of the season. As you mentioned, it gets a little bit tougher, a little bit more challenging, but that's not necessarily a bad thing from a fantasy standpoint because you're getting more points. Derek Brown, let's go to you here. Give me a team that you believe is a winner based on what you saw yesterday in the schedule release.
So before I get to that, I love that Andrew kind of like low key laced in some shade for Tua there because, you know, my feelings and Jerry Jeudy. I love how he just got to weave that into his argument. Okay. But the first thing that stands out,
you got us both in one segment. Yeah.
You love to see it. So I got to point that out there first. But the team that stood out to me was the Cleveland Browns. I mean, outside of divisional games, you're looking at they have non-divisional games against the Panthers, the Jets, the Falcons, the Texans, and the Commanders. Three of those four teams, actually all of those are outside the top 22 in defensive DVOA versus passing attacks last year. And if they do have Watson miss any kind of time, like he gets a 2-game, 4-game suspension, three of those first four games are in the begin. That's three of their first four games for the season. So you're looking at a softer beginning of the schedule. They face some passing attacks outside of divisional opponents that they can easily get over on. And they have two shootout potentials against Buffalo and Tampa Bay. So there's a lot to like when you look at the Cleveland Browns schedule, at least for the upcoming games.
All right. Who was another team that you feel besides them that you think benefits from the schedule so far?
Well, I'm really kind of curious because when we're prepping for this show and stuff, I get my teams ready and I jump into the outline and stuff. And I see I'm putting this team as a winner and I see Andrew's got them as a loser. So I'm curious where he's going to go with it. But the Jets to me stick out as a winner with their schedule. If they want to ease Zach Wilson into this and really lean on their ground game with Breece Hall, Michael Carter, and whoever else, I think they can do it. Like, outside of six games this year against Buffalo, Miami, and New England, who were all bad run defenses last year. Like, you're looking at all of those teams. So that's six games are 28th or worst in open field yards. So you're looking at big plays, big runs. They also get Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincinnati, who are 19th or worse in that metric. So I think the Jets are going to be able to, one, run the ball, and two, take pressure off of Zach Wilson and really help him this season. And those seem like two wins to me for New York. And if we're keeping track here, people, that's 10 games against middle of the road or below average run defenses for a team that is added to the offensive line and tells you that they want to run the ball, also with the selection of Breece Hall.
All right, Andrew Erickson, Derek Brown has the Jets as a winner. You've got him as a loser. Tell me why.
Yeah, so for the way I was looking at it was there was nothing about the Jets' schedule when I was looking more at the opponents as a whole that really stuck out to me. Like, this is an advantage that Zach Wilson can take care of. And I guess when I'm viewing the Jets, and this is not to say that D-Row is right or I'm right or he's wrong. I think we looked at it with different perspectives where I was trying to figure out a path where Zach Wilson could take a step. And the way that D-Row kind of pointed out was he was highlighting the run game. And I think that he's spot on with that. I was trying to find an outlet where Zach Wilson, okay, here we go. Like, this is the stretch of games where he can take a step forward. And I'm like looking up and down the board. I'm like, oh yeah, the Jets have the 27th most difficult schedule overall. That's horrible. That's not good for Zach Wilson. And yes, if we have to sacrifice all the Jets receivers for Breece Hall, I'm all for that. But it kind of sucks though, because we're not going to get to see Elijah Moore or Garrett Wilson or some of these other guys actually take off in this offense. So that was it for me. I was concerned more about the passing game. And I guess the only knock on the run game would be if all those teams are better than the Jets, you know, how much are they going to be able to run, you know, in the second half if they're trailing in points? Like, are they going to be able to establish a run? So those are my question marks. And I guess it really points back to maybe Zach Wilson is really the more of the specific loser of the Jets schedule, not the entire team, where I do think Breece Hall, D-Bro makes a lot of good points about.
Okay, so you've explained yourself about the Jets being a loser potentially, or more Zach Wilson being a loser. Who's another team that you think the schedule really doesn't favor from what you've seen so far, Andrew?
Oh, Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that this one is really obvious. They have a really tough schedule to kind of start the year with road matchups, and I just don't like. I don't know how many Pittsburgh Steelers I'm going to have in my fantasy football teams, honestly. Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. You have question marks at quarterback with Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, and you have them going up against the Patriots Thursday night against the Cleveland Browns. They're facing the Bengals, AFC reigning champions. So I'm trying to find and spin a story where, oh, Kenny Pickett rises above and they have a very tough schedule and he gets it done for all these weapons in this offense. And I don't see that from the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you look at their projected win total, 7.5. It's not too late to hit the under on Pittsburgh's win total. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, and look, the Ravens did a great job in the draft adding a lot of those defensive pieces. So, I mean, that their in-division opponents alone is going to be very tough. Derek Brown, who are the losers for you when it comes to the schedule from what you saw yesterday?
Well, I'm going to kick this off by staying in the AFC North. I think the Bengals, we need to, and I'm not going to say, like, definitely pump the brakes, but we do need to kind of look at their schedule and understand that it's a tough road. And I'm talking about outside of the four games in division where they got against the Steelers and the Ravens. Oh, and guess what? Make it six against the Browns, who were all top 11 teams in DVOA versus passing last year. You add in seven other games against Dallas, Miami, New Orleans, the Patriots, the Bucks, Tennessee, and Buffalo, who are also all in the top 12 in pass DVOA. Defensive DVOA, and now you're looking at a schedule legit like that. What's that, 13 games against top 12 defenses? So it's not great. Now, I'm not saying that the Bengals don't have the talent. Obviously, we know Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow can get it done. But if we're looking at them, is it a team that I'm going to necessarily heavily target in, say, best ball formats and things like that? Who, every one of these players, their ADPs are through the roof. I think it's a team I'm going to get exposure to, but I'm going to temper some of that exposure because of the schedule they're going to stare down the gauntlet this year.
All right. So you've got the Bengals, another team potentially a loser, Derek, in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's the Minnesota Vikings. For a team that really didn't do anything to help their offensive line, we know that Kirk Cousins has problems against pressure. This is spelled out in his metrics. His pressure accuracy drops to 29th. His pressure completion rate is 17th. And you're looking at a Vikings team that, good Lord, they allowed the 8th highest pressure rate for Cousins last year, and they get 5 defenses in the top 12 of pressure rates to begin the season and lace throughout their schedule. For a team that, honestly, I was surprised they didn't do some other things and really kind of try to shore up that offensive line. It's not saying you press the panic button on Justin Jefferson, but these other ancillary parts or pieces of the Vikings passing attack, like his Cousins, we've seen when things go bad and he's under duress, it really goes bad. Like, I'm just remembering like the Bears game last year where it's like they have junior high guys playing secondary and it's like, just complete a pass. And Akeem Hicks is running up the middle like, no, baby, you ain't getting nothing. And Kirk Cousins just falls apart. So, I mean, we've seen it before. We could see it again in 2022.
It feels like a make or break year for the Vikings, though, because I feel like the Packers are at their weakest that they've been in many years, at least from the offensive side of the football. Defense played very well last year. But this division's in a bit of, I would say, flux, and they're still building. I mean, the lines are still building. The Bears are still doing whatever the Bears are doing. I'm surprised that neither of you picked the Colts as a winner, because they have the third easiest schedule, theoretically, and they just got a veteran quarterback who took a team to the Super Bowl. They've got a pretty darn good offensive line. They've got Jonathan Taylor. They've got a pretty good defense as well. That's a team. I mean, all they've got to do is take it to Tennessee twice, and if they do, I feel like they're going to be a playoff team, and they're going to be very much in control of that division if they can take it to Tennessee. So those are the winners and losers, at least on the 13th of May. At least that's where we're at right now. Let's go to some of the guys that we think early season might benefit some of these players based on schedule, based on the kind of player they are in the situation, the matchups in theory. Derek Brown, we'll start with you for this one. Give me some of the players that you looked at where you felt, man, this schedule to me benefits this player, especially early on in the year.
So there's three players that stuck out to me. One being DeAndre Swift. If you look at his first four matchups, three of them are against teams that were terrible. They gave it up to receiving backs last year. And some of this, like, yes, we're talking about schedules and you're looking at like what's noise versus substance and things like that. You are looking at some of these teams do this religiously year after year after year, or it's because they run zone heavy schemes. So you see certain teams, and I'm going to talk about the next one, that are bad versus certain positions year over year. And this is going to be true for DeAndre Swift. Like, Washington gave up the most receiving touchdowns to running backs last year. Seattle and Philly were top three, both in receptions allowed to the running back. Like, Seattle was historically bad versus receiving backs. So DeAndre Swift's a guy that I'm going to be targeting in drafts. And I think he's going to start out the year on fire. This next one is disgusting, and I can't believe I'm saying it because I give him so much shade because he's so freaking inefficient. But if you're looking for a streamer, at least at where we're sitting here in May talking about this. All right, I'm ready. Evan Engram, I think, has a really standout schedule to begin the year. And this is not the name I thought I was going to be saying, but here we are, people. And I talk about, again, these defenses that you can pin every single year being good or bad versus certain things. He gets Washington, who allowed the 13th most receptions versus tight ends. Then he gets Indy, the Chargers, and Philly, all zone heavy teams. They're all 21st or lower in DVOA versus the position. As a player that I am not in on full season, I will take him, and if I'm looking at just piecing together the tight end position and waiting for a breakout guy, Evan Engram falls into that bucket. And the last guy I'm going to get in here is my stud, my man crush always, is Cam Akers. I was not going to sit here and talk about schedules and not talk about Cam Akers. His first four games, two of those, at least two of the first three, are against teams that were terrible versus the run. So I think it's a chance for Akers to start out the year really, really good. And if you he fell to you in a draft and you're not big into Akers and you want to flip him, that's fine. He gets Buffalo and Arizona in two of those first three games, who are 27th or worst in open field yards. So if we're looking at a scenario and you draft Akers and he falls to you in the middle rounds and you're like, I don't really love him, I want to sell high, then you can get rid of him maybe after week three.
Speaking of selling high on Akers, going back to DeAndre Swift for a second, a back that's had some injury history now in the NFL for first 2 years of his career. If Swift gets off to the good expected start that you're thinking, is he also a trade target potentially to move at that point? Because we do know there's a downside to him in terms of health and durability. Is that something you should consider with Swift as well as Akers?
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and take that off the table. And some of this obviously depends on what you get back in trades, but I'm willing to sit here and deal Swift if he starts off that fast. And maybe you get a running back that doesn't start off great. Like we're talking about, Erickson mentioned the Steelers. Najee Harris, we know he's going to get all of the touches he can handle this year. I mean, he was second in the NFL in total touches last year. So we know he's going to get fed. If you can get rid of Swift, and again, we need to talk about another Erickson Loveless guy. When Jameson Williams comes back, maybe he doesn't start off the year playing full snaps. This is also a team that, if we're talking about DeAndre Swift's target share, if Jameson Williams is going to impact that, along with some other wide receivers. So if he doesn't start off the gate, just blowing people out the door, then, and he picks up steam, say by week four, week five, he's playing 100% of snaps and they're throwing the ball more, Swift could be a definite sell high.
All right. So those are some good names, especially two running backs also that I know I, for one, am a little iffy on both of those guys. So if you're telling me the schedule is good in the beginning, I'm a little bit more apt to just kind of take one for the team and go, yes, all right, let me take the running back here. At least good start in theory is possible. Andrew Erickson, who are some early winners for you when you look at the schedule and think from a fantasy perspective, these guys have some good matchups and I want to take advantage of them.
Yeah, so for me, Marquise Brown is the guy that stands out the most for the Arizona Cardinals, and this isn't even really factoring. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be serving his suspension, and I just think this sets up Marquise Brown so well looking at the matchups that he has. It's like either it's shootouts or bad defenses. Like that's all the Arizona Cardinals have throughout the first 6 weeks, and I can't help but think Marquise Brown is going to have a Mike Williams-esque start to the season where we're like, this guy's like the wide receiver too. Overall, because he's seeing all the targets in the Cardinals offense. Kyler Murray, if you look at Kyler Murray's splits in the first half of the season versus the second half of the season, the guy averages almost 30 fantasy points per game over the last two seasons in the first half. And that's because he's running around and not hurt at the beginning of the season. Like that's when Kyler Murray plays his best. And then he obviously falls off like the Cardinals have done over the last 2 years. So I think that whatever discount you could potentially get on Kyler Murray is kind of interesting without Hopkins in the fold for the first 6 weeks. I think that people will look at it as like, oh, it's a knock on him. And statistically it is. He was worse without Hopkins last year, but he didn't have Marquise Brown. So I think adding Brown into the fold with Kyler Murray fully healthy at the start of the season, I think that you're going to see Marquise Brown as a guy that just blows up and it's going to be the head of every fantasy article. Sell high on Marquise Brown. DeAndre Hopkins is coming back. And it's just going to be a matter of price. It's going to be a matter of like, what are you going to get for him? And he's probably going to fall off because he can't. This is unsustainable production. But the fact of the matter is you're going to be able to draft him probably as a wide receiver too. And he's going to give you uber production to start the season. So Marquise Brown, I think that is just really set up really well. Christian Kirk was a top 12 receiver last year over the last 4 weeks of the season without Hopkins in the lineup. So I think a wide receiver one start is definitely in the range of outcomes for Marquise Brown. My next guy is Michael Pittman Jr. So again, giving your Colts a shout out here, Joe. I could have talked about Jonathan Taylor, but it's like he's already at number one. Like we can't move Jonathan Taylor up any more than he already is. So I will wax poetic about Michael Pittman. I just love the matchups here for Pittman at the beginning of the season. You have the Houston Texans, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, and just all these layup matchups for an alpha wide receiver. I'm just so high on Pittman entering the season. I tweeted out that I would take him over Dolphins wide receivers, and people were at me like, that's a hot take, that's bold. And I don't know, I'm just like, hey man, like he's the alpha in the offense. Like you're gonna see Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill cannibalize each other, and I'm concerned about that. Where I know as Michael Pittman's the number one receiver in his offense, and Matt Ryan has a history of fueling top end wide receiver talent at the fantasy position. Tua does not. So for me, I feel great about Michael Pittman. Yeah, maybe he doesn't outscore both Dolphins receivers, but he'll probably outscore one of them. And I'm willing to take that when I'm kind of doing my draft, especially because Pittman goes after Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in most ADP, at least early on. So Michael Pittman Jr., I think, is just set up to just absolutely smash. And then the last guy, again, this is kind of like my Evan Ingram. It's Carson Wentz for the Washington Commanders. And when I was writing this up today, you know, when I was kind of doing my article review of the season, I kind of talked about, or I looked at Carson Wentz basically that of how we viewed Sam Darnold last year, where Sam Darnold came out first 3 weeks of the season was like, He's back. Guns were blazing. Like he's on fire. He's scoring now, rushing
back,
touchdowns.
Back from what? Back means alluding there once upon a time it was good. That's what back means. Well, he was there. I think that's what you're looking
for. Well, basically he had the NFL media convinced that, you know, he was vastly underrated and then he had the talent. Mm-hmm. It was all the Jets' fault. It was the situation. I never bought it because I knew Sam Darnold was a horrible quarterback. And again, he turned back into a pumpkin after the first three games. And I think that we could see something similar from a Carson Wentz. I'm not high on Carson Wentz as a quarterback, but when you look at who he's facing, you know, through the first 12 games, again, he's facing 10 defenses that rank in the bottom half of NFL in terms of fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. So I think that he's going to be able to get stuff done with Terry McLaurin, with Jahan Dotson, with some of the skill makers that he has at the position. And look, Carson Wentz, he's going to be someone that not a lot of people want in two quarterback leagues. You should have seen how much value Sam Darnold had during his three-game stretch. It just skyrocketed, and you could have flipped him. So I think with Carson Wentz, if you're fishing around, you need a second quarterback. No one is high on Carson Wentz. You know, people are crowning Sam Howell, the man that will not eat a steak or hamburger, as the next quarterback in the wings for Washington. I think that Wentz is a guy you should target now, buy low on, and then take the production you can get at the beginning of the season, see if you can flip him for more as the season progresses. Because we ultimately know how this is going to play out with Carson Wentz, but I think that it should start out pretty well. I am concerned. One thing, though, he plays Jacksonville and Detroit the first 2 weeks. As long as he can get past his PTSD from last year when he played Jacksonville at the end of the season, I think Wentz could actually be a value, especially in two quarterback leagues to start the year.
It's hard to trust a man who's never eaten a burger. I can understand not loving steaks. Like, I get that. Like, I like steaks. You know, I like steaks, but, you know, got to be in the mood for the steak for me personally. But the burger, like, I'm always in the mood for a burger. Here's a question for you too: is Wentz a guy that you can draft if you're waiting in super flex leagues? Let's say you were aggressive on Trey Lance, we're still waiting to figure out what that situation is going to be, or Deshaun Watson, and can Wentz be one of those bridge quarterbacks in super flex till one of those guys is playing every day or not suspended or in that sort of situation? Where can he hold down the fort for a month? Is Wentz that cheap alternative to be aggressive on a Watson or a Lance or someone like that?
I think he is. I mean, look, Sam Howell, I know that we liked him more than his fifth round draft capital would indicate, but he still was drafted in the fifth round. Like, the Washington Commanders have no reason that they ever need to play Sam Howell. They paid Carson Wentz. So I don't see why he's not. He has to play so egregiously horrible to take him out. And I think that Wentz's, you know, body of work shows that he's probably going to be mediocre at best, but, you know, he's got decent weapons in Washington. He's got playmakers around him. He's got a decent offensive line. So I think, especially when you factor in the ease of the early season schedule, even kind of basically for the first half of the season, we've seen much worse quarterbacks do better in good matchups before than Carson Wentz. So yeah, I think that he's someone that I know I have him in a two quarterback league and I need quarterbacks badly. So that's who I would probably go out and target.
All right, before we move forward with the conversation, I want to take a pause to talk to you about Magic Spoon. Now, if you're anything like Andrew Erickson, who's drinking the protein shakes, he's working out before the podcast, after the podcast, that Bundt cake he talked about earlier, most likely made of just sheer protein powder, as far as I know. Now, you're always looking to bulk up. You're always looking to eat better. And it's hard at breakfast because everybody's rushing around. Nobody has time. Cereal's easy. I grab the box of cereal. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's got a lot of sugar and a lot of other stuff that's no good for you. That's where Magic Spoon comes in, because Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And it's only 140 calories per serving. If you can believe it, it's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, and low carb. And it tastes good also. And they've got amazing flavors to choose from. And you can build your custom bundle. So you can choose from cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, cookies and cream, maple waffle, which is also known as the Friedman around here, blueberry, cinnamon, plus the newly reformulated honey nut flavor that's going to knock your socks off. So check out the honey nut. Now, honey nut does have 1 whole gram of sugar. So Erickson will not be having that one. But all the other ones are in play for the custom bundle. So you can make your custom bundle today at Fantasy Pros with magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Again, that's the handle, magicspoon.com/fantasypros. And when you use that Fantasy Pros moniker at checkout in the promo code area, you save $5 off your order. So build your bundle. It's backed with 100% guarantee. It's amazing stuff. It's delicious. I like it personally as a snack too. So like, you're a little hungry in the middle of the day, you want a little extra something, something there. Instead of going for like the chips, you go for a little Magic Spoon. You put a little in a baggie there, you sit there and you do a podcast. That's how you do it. But you can only do it at magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Again, $5 off of the Magic Spoon deliciousness thanks to us over here at Fantasy Pros. So go get your $5 off and get your custom bundle today and get swole like Andrew Erickson with all the protein. All right, let's get to the next part of our show. And we're going to talk a little bit about mid-season breakout. So we're talking like weeks 5 through 12 here, where some schedules might be a little bit more open, a little bit more beneficial, perhaps good for some of the younger players where you feel like this might be their moment to shine, or maybe guys off the waiver wire. I don't know. It's up to you guys to tell me. You're the smart people around here. I just say words.
Well, I mean, again, we're just talking about loveless guys. I'm going to mention Drake London. I think the Falcons
Shock. I can't believe that.
It's so weird, right? So weird. I've never done that before.
I need to reset the pod. Okay, we're good.
With the Falcons, if they do stumble out of the gate, they have a few decent like or rough matchups coming out the gate. But if you look at their schedule, because I mean, look, the beginning of their first six games, they face New Orleans, the Rams, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, San Francisco. Not good. Not good, people. But in weeks 8 through 12, you could see this offense kind of get its legs underneath it. They get Carolina twice, which nobody's scared of the Panthers secondary. Then they get the Bears, who outside of Jalen Johnson, they don't really have anybody that you should strike fear in your heart. And they get the Commanders. So we're looking at a passing attack that has rough matchups to start the season. And then when we're seeing these rookies come on down the stretch, Drake London could easily be that guy.
All right, so Drake London's one. Andrew, let's go to you for one. Who's a midseason breakout based on schedule?
Yeah, for me, I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins, looking at some of their skill players, because I just think they have a chance to come out of the gates a little bit slow based on just all the new moving pieces. There's a lot of different things going on with that offense. They want to be fast. They want to get everyone involved. Everyone's going to touch the ball 10 times. Like, there's just a lot that Mike Daniel has a lot to do with this offense. And I think that when you look at the matchups, at least early on, you have the Patriots, you have the Ravens and the Bills, versus the next 4 weeks after that, you have Houston, Vikings, Lions, Bears. And then you have their week, and then before the week 11 bye week. So I think that the schedule for Miami does lighten up as we hit that mid season part again, like around like week 5, week 6. And I think that just, I don't know if we're going to see it right from the get go, everything just gel together. I mean, it's a brand new offense. Remember, we used to have analysis where, okay, quarterback entering year 2 of the system, like, here we go. And now we're kind of just like, okay, Tua has to be immediately, everyone has to be wide receiver 1. Tyreek Hill has to be amazing. Jalen Waddle has to be amazing. So I just think that it's going to take some time, and there will be an opportunity for whoever is kind of left out, whether it's, you know, I could see it honestly being Waddle, like it's left out, you know, to start the year. They really try to force feed Tyreek Hill because he was the big free agent or the big trade acquisition to kind of keep, you know, the organization happy. So if Waddle falls to the wayside a little bit, I would look at it as a buying opportunity, because I think that Waddle is just this uber talented player. I can't get on board right now necessarily with Waddle's like best ball ADP, but during the season, again, I still, the talent isn't going away. Like, I still think that he's a really good player and really talented player. So he's someone I'm going to keep my eyes on if he underwhelms to start the year, especially with the Dolphins stretch during that mid part.
You can trade all of your Jalen Waddle shares to me. Give me your tired, your hungry, your Jalen Waddle shares. I'll take all of them. I'm very happy to take them off your hands for whatever you want. We'll make that work. All right, back to you, Derek Brown. Give me another guy or concept or team, whatever you think is going to be a breakout in midseason for whatever reason.
Okay. I went dumpster diving with Evan Ingram. I'm back to the dumpster. I'm in the landfill. Give me the New York Giants passing attack towards the middle of the season. And this could, you could shape this in a lot of different ways. Like, you want to look at Danny Dimes as a stretch run guy or a fill-in bye weeks, what have you. Kenny Golladay shows that maybe he could still play football. Wandale Robinson comes out of all of this, or Kadarius Toney comes out of all of this as their number one wide receiver. They've got some pretty good matchups coming up. Like, weeks 7 through 11, they get the Jaguars, the Seahawks, the Texans, the Lions, and Commanders. Each one of these teams, well, 4 of the 5, were 26th or worse in pass defense DVOA last year. And, I mean, we're not saying that any of these teams, like, improved leaps and bounds. Like, I know the Lions got a pass rush. Secondary is still kind of, and the Commanders fell off a table. So if we're looking at somebody, like, one of these guys from this passing attack could either get their feet under them, like Wandale Robinson, and be leading the passing attack, or we could see guys that show some relevance in the middle of the season. So it's definitely, it's gross, but it's not to say we can't find value here.
All right, good. So you stuck in the area that I can attest, the Meadowlands area does smell of garbage or thereof. I've done many a show from there hosted over the years. You ain't wrong. So back to you, Andrew Erickson. Give me something else that might smell a little better, maybe, than the Meadowlands.
I'm going to go with Damian Pierce, running back for the Houston Texans, fourth round pick. I know that a lot of a lot of us are anointing Damien Pierce as the starter for the Houston Texans, you know, with Marlon Mack there, Rex Burkhead. And I think that he's the most talented guy, but we will see. You know, when week one comes around, if Marlon Mack is still healthy, like, it's probably going to be a committee. As much as we'd like to see a guy be the featured back, it just doesn't always work out that way. You know, Marlon Mack was a starter when the Colts drafted Jonathan Taylor. Like it takes time, some of these rookies, especially a guy that didn't play a lot at the college level. Like, that's just a fact. So I think that with the Texans, there is an opportunity to buy Damien Pierce when ultimately he doesn't end up being the featured guy from the get-go. You look at where the Texans have their bye week, and I think that this is really something to look at through all the bye weeks, where they are. That's when we see a rookie bump in terms of usage after the bye week. The team's like, all right, let's reevaluate what's working, what's not working. Hey, what do you know? Like, giving the ball to Marlon Mack like 15 times a game is way worse than giving it to Damien Pierce. Let's get him the ball more. So the Texans have a bye week in week 6. It's the first set of bye weeks. That would be an opportunity where I look at Damien Pierce and kind of see, oh, everyone's sick of him. It's a committee. That's an opportunity I would look to buy Damien Pierce for the Houston Texans and hope that he does kind of take over that backfield as the season progresses, especially because when you look at the Texans, who, again, it's one of those things where the Texans, like the Jets, it's not a great schedule. You know, you look at these teams that finished poorly last year, you kind of assume, oh yeah, they'll probably have a soft schedule because they were bad. The Texans are not really like that. You know, they have a tough schedule, even though they finished poorly last year, but they do things kind of lighten up during the fantasy playoffs. They get the Chiefs, the Titans, and the Jaguars. So a couple teams where I could see them moving the ball up and down the field on those teams, whether it's because of their secondary or a bad run defense. So Pierce, again, it's way far out at this point, but we see these running backs kind of come out of the woodwork. It's like, oh my God, like, he was the league winner that year. So Damien Pierce to me is someone that I don't want you to necessarily give up on, you know, at the beginning of the season where he doesn't do much. It's like, don't have super lofty expectations for him to start the year. Like, he's a fourth round pick. Like, give him some time. I think after week 6, after the bye week, I think will be very telling to see what the Texans have in plan and have in store for Damien Pierce. I think that he could pay off a lot of big dividends down the stretch.
I don't think people are going to be that patient. I'll take it a step further. I think Pierce will be a guy that you can get off the waiver wire. People will draft him. Marlon Mack will get carries in the first 2 weeks, and Burkhardt will be a mess. And then he'll get dropped. And I think you're right. I think if he gets dropped, he's somebody you pick up for that weeks 5 through 8. See if something happens in that 3 week window. Because also another piece of this puzzle is Davis Mills is still a relatively young quarterback. I think you want to give him a veteran running back in that backfield with him that can, you know, help pass protection. A bit of more of a veteran presence, I think, is important there for the younger quarterback. To put the young quarterback with the rookie running back, I think that's a lot to ask in offense that already is not very good. So I think that's a great one, actually. And I think he's going to be available on the waiver wire. I do. I think he'll get drafted. All right, Derek Brown, give me one more guy that you think is going to break out between weeks 5 and 12 that you think might have a good window there to really show you something in fantasy.
Well, I'm going to shift the window over just one week. So I'm going to talk about weeks 6 through 13 here. And I'm doing this because look, I'm staying.
He's breaking the rules, Joe.
You can't make your own rules on the podcast. No, go ahead. Do what you got to do.
Look, at least I'm staying on the running back position here, people. Okay. But so James Cook, if you draft him, if you can find him, maybe he's on the waiver wire, do not lose faith. If he starts out the season slow, if Devin Singletary is getting the run and things like that, and you see James Cook only playing passing downs, because weeks 6 through 13, see, I went back to that stretch there. Mm-hmm. They have a laundry list of teams that are terrible against receiving backs, even if he's not getting the early down work. Like, in this stretch, they play Kansas City, Green Bay, they get the Jets twice, the Patriots, and the Lions, who are all 23rd or worst in DVOA versus pass catching running backs. So we're talking about a stretch here where if James Cook is getting a lot of dump offs and stuff, he could easily be low end RB2, high end RB3, perfect for your fantasy squad, especially in PPR leagues where he's getting a lot of work out of the backfield and easy completions for Josh Allen against teams that have been bad versus receiving backs. Like the Chiefs and the Packers, we could just lock that into stone. They're bad versus receiving backs every single frapping year. So this is a great stretch if you're looking at a guy that, if the hype continues to build, the camp hype builds, and then, oh crap, Devin Singletary is getting carries in the first 5 weeks. I don't know what to do with James Cook. Hold him. Keep him on your roster and be patient.
or trade for him if he's not, because if Singletary is doing very well, he's going to be available as a throw in a package. You like guarantee it. Last guy for you, Andrew Erickson, give me one more. I don't know. Let's say weeks 4 through 11. I don't know what to do anymore. The whole show's been derailed now that the weeks have been adjusted. Now, in all fairness, in the middle of the season or after the first month is over, give me somebody that you see having a good path here to fantasy points as the season turns over into October.
Yeah, I think that some of the guys I'm looking at for the New York Jets, you're talking about how there's just a lot of new pieces in this offense and someone's going to get left out. Ultimately, I don't think that we're going to see Zach Wilson necessarily fuel everyone in this offense to being super productive. So I'm kind of gravitating towards whoever is kind of underwhelming. Now, when I look at the receivers, Garrett Wilson versus Elijah Moore, I thought it was kind of interesting looking at the first couple of matchups that they had. You look at it really benefits Moore, I think, when you're looking at the teams that they're playing, being in the slot. If that's ultimately where he ends up playing, you have the Ravens and the Browns. Marlon Humphrey is going to be locking up with Garrett Wilson. You're going to see Denzel Ward locking up with Garrett Wilson. Like, I don't know how productive he's going to be early on, and people are going to get annoyed. You know, similar to how we were looking at talking about Drake London, where it's just like, oh, he didn't do it, you know, because a couple of bad matchups. Like, what the heck? What's going on? Oh, this guy sucks. So, you know, an opportunity to buy a talented player. And then the same thing for a Breece Hall. We know that Breece Hall is going to get volume in this offense, and it's just a matter of, you know, what will the efficiency look like? That's kind of like the big question mark, just basically how good is this Jets offense? If he's scoring touchdowns, okay, great. Like, you're feeling great about drafting Breece Hall top 15, but then it's like, oh no, like, these are all empty calorie touches. Like, it's not working in this Jets offense. But the thing that, again, looking at playoffs, you look at who the Jets are playing, it's when the schedule opens up the most where they can be productive, and Breece Hall can kind of have a Jonathan Taylor-esque run down to the season, or David Montgomery was like at the beginning of, I think it was like 2 years ago, where it was these two running backs that those are the guys you needed to have to make your fantasy championship. Yep. So yeah. I think Breece Hall kind of fits that archetype where he's kind of like middling. He's kind of like chugging along all year long. You're like, oh, like, I guess I got to start Breece Hall because he gets touches. Like, it's going to be like a volume based RB2 play every single week. And then boom, like, the schedule lightens up. Breece Hall's on fire, and I feel like the articles are going to write themselves, like, Breece Hall, buy low, fantasy championship, David Montgomery 3.0. Here we go.
Those are all the hashtags for that article. I can feel them right now. All right. Let's take off the analyst hats and just be football fans for a second. Derek Brown, what were some of the matchups that you saw yesterday when the schedule dropped that you went, ooh-wee, because I know that phrase comes out of your mouth from time to time. You went, ooh-wee, you got excited about, and you felt like this is going to be just fun from a football standpoint.
I got to wrap my head around that type of slogan now. I don't want that part of my brand. Don't put that evil on
hashtag
me.
#Ooh-wee.
No. I'd rather. No. No. Can't do it. But the games that stood out to me, when I'm looking at the schedule, I can't even talk right now because you throw me off.
Nobody makes you more uncomfortable than me, and I love it. It makes me so happy.
Both before show, in show, after show.
And after show.
That's how I live. But anyway, back to the games that I want to watch this year. I mean, look, you have to be turning on every single time that the Chargers are going to tangle with the Chiefs. They get them twice this year. Justin Herbert against Patrick Mahomes is a marquee matchup. So definitely one that I'm going to be tuning into every single time, as well as week 12. And Andrew talked about the Dolphins getting their legs under them. Week 12, we get the Shanahan Bowl. Like, you get the Dolphins going against the 49ers. Yeah, sign me up for that. I mean, 75 rushing attempts for both teams. Tyreek Hill just sitting there, you know, puffing his chest out, saying, why the hell am I not getting the ball? It's going to be a fun time, people.
Erickson, how about you? What are the fun times ahead for us on the schedule, in your opinion?
All right, well, you got the hometown team. Patriots are playing on Thanksgiving on the night hour. So we'll be all coming back with our tummies filled with turkey, and I'll be trying to stay awake.
Last time that happened, was that the butt fumble? Is the last time the Patriots have played the night game on Thanksgiving?
I think so, yeah. That was legendary. Yes, that was the last time they played that late. On Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving, yeah.
Because I know that they played. I know they had played, I think it was Brady. When they wore their red jerseys, Brady just like absolutely shredded the Detroit Lions. And he was like eating the chicken leg or whatever. Or the turkey leg after the, sorry, I'm not Sam Howell. I eat turkey, not just chicken.
all the meats, all the proteins for Andrew Erickson. We established that earlier. No empty calories, no empty touches, and all of the protein we could possibly find in this podcast.
Yes, for sure. And all of the Buffalo-Kansas City matchups we can find. So there's a rematch between last year's massive playoff game, hoping that we get, you know, 100 points scored. I still want to see the next rendition of that Rams-Chiefs game on, from Monday Night Football from a couple years back. Mm-hmm. Like, I want this game to be like that game. So Buffalo, Kansas City, I mean, that's stuff you got to get your popcorn ready for. And then I know I mentioned it already before, but Russell Wilson going to Seattle week one. Like the schedule makers wasted no time making that like a marquee matchup to start the year. And I think you made a really good point where Russell Wilson, man, like, dude, that dude is going to come out firing. Like, I cannot imagine a world where he's like, no, like, I'm going to throw like 8 touchdowns in this game if I can. Like, you can't stop me. So Russell Wilson cooking on Monday Night Football, I think is going to be just, I'm going to be watching my guy Cortland Sutton catching multiple touchdowns. It'll be a great showing all around.
Had to slide that in at the end on that note. All jokes aside, wonderful stuff today, gentlemen. You brought fantastic research. Everybody is better off for having listened to the podcast. And in all honesty, great stuff from you guys today. And of course, we'll be here with you continuing to take you through all the fantastic content here at Fantasy Pros. And let's not forget also to get yourself some Magic Spoon. Head over to magicspoon.com/fantasypros and use that promo code Fantasy Pros at checkout to get $5 off your order. And that's not the only thing we've got going on, too, because we also have, of course, giving away that Deebo Samuel helmet thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. So head over to youtube.com/fantasypros, sign up for our YouTube channel, become a subscriber of the YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros on YouTube, then screenshot that bad boy, bring it over to fantasypros.com/contest and join. You can get that Deebo Samuel helmet. And don't forget, we've got best ball draft kits available too. Our best ball draft kit is available at fantasypros.com/best ball. And we've got the best ball rankings anywhere, ADP, draft strategy articles, roster construction advice, you name it. We've got you all set for best ball, and it's best ball season now officially. Forget it. The schedule's out. Let's go. And if you want to get the most out of that draft kit, you have to be a subscriber. So go to premium today. Again, go premium on fantasypros.com/best ball. Be a premium subscriber. You get access to the Discord channel and all of its glory. You get so many perks. Andrew Erickson will come to your house and start training you at home. We'll get monster energy drinks from Derek Brown, all when you become a premium member of Fantasy Pros. But in all honesty, if you're playing fantasy football seriously and you're not a premium member of Fantasy Pros, I got to question your life choices. So go and do that today. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.